From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Today, he begins to deal with Paul's first epistle to Timothy. Along with 2 Timothy and Titus, 1 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles, letters written to instruct ministers of the gospel how they were to care for the churches. Even in those early days, error was beginning to creep into the churches because of false teachers. So Paul wrote to instruct pastors how the church is to be guided and guarded so as to be a good witness for Jesus Christ in an age of apostasy. The key verse is chapter 3, verse 15, where Paul describes the church as the pillar and ground of the truth. In the course of 1 Timothy, the apostle sets forth what the truth of the gospel is. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce this message. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Trustworthy Name. The text is found in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. When true religion is ready to die out among the wealthy, it finds a home among the poor of this world, rich in faith. The Lord has even now his faithful remnant. Am I one of them? Perhaps it is because men are afflicted and poor that they learn to trust in the name of the Lord. He that hath no money must try what he can do on trust. He whose own name is good for nothing in his own esteem acts wisely to rest in another name, even that best of names, the name of Jehovah. God will always have a trusting people, and these will be an afflicted and poor people. Little as the world thinks of them, their being left in the midst of a nation is the channel of untold blessings to it. Here we have the conserving salt which keeps in check the corruption which is in the world through lust. Again, the question comes home to each one of us. Am I one of them? Am I afflicted by the sin within me and around me? Am I poor in spirit, poor spiritually in my own judgment? Do I trust in the Lord? That is the main business. Jesus reveals the name, the character, the person of God. Am I trusting in Him? If so, I am left in this world for a purpose. Lord, help me to fulfill it.
Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Unto thee willingly, yielded I come. Show the path that I must walk. Compel me then to go. And if
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Thank you. First Timothy. This is the 10th in this series of messages, and so we're now at First Timothy. We're going to read a very few verses in chapter 1, and then again a few verses in chapter 3. Verse 1 to 11 in chapter 1, and 14 to 16 in chapter 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mightest or mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. As we turn to 1 Timothy this morning, I am going to ignore the controversy which scholarly unbelief has used to surround the authorship and the date of this little epistle. Indeed, all the so-called pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. I will simply say that there is no valid reason, there is not the slightest ghost of a seeing or spiritual reason to doubt that Paul wrote these epistles, that he wrote them as, when, and why the actual text of the epistles would indicate. So with that behind us, and that's very easy for me to say, if you were to read the scholarly literature, they have multiplied millions of words on a totally unnecessary subject. But with that behind us, let me say that 1 Timothy, as you can see, is a very brief letter, 6 short chapters, directed by the Apostle Paul to young Timothy as the minister in the church at the city of Ephesus. Now, Timothy was in the church at Ephesus as Paul's personal choice for that position. The apostle, you see, recognized the immense importance of the Ephesian church. It was strategically positioned. It was a thoroughly important church in a very important place. And there was a lot riding on the behavior and the success of the workers in the Ephesian church. So Paul was not surprised when he noted that the church in Ephesus was attracting the attention of certain heretics and certain deniers of the gospel of the free grace of God. In fact, if you go back to Acts 20, 28 and 29, you'll discover that he gave a warning to the Ephesian elders. This was the last warning that he ever gave them face to face. He said, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, sparing not the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So Paul could see the danger looming on the horizon. When he's writing to Timothy now, the danger has materialized, the threat has become reality. And he learned that there were certain Judaizers who had come into the church at Ephesus, and they were seeking to overthrow the gospel of salvation by grace received through faith in Christ alone. They were seeking to add to that, first of all, just by a little addition here and there, they were seeking to add to that, that you need certain works of the law. Then they went a little further. They wanted to be teachers of the law. That is a word that is used in the Gospels when the doctors of the law watch the Lord Jesus. These Pharisees, that's the name that was given to them. Doctors of the law, one word in the original. Here it is again. These were now Pharisaical types of people, and they had come right into the church, and they were seeking to undo all that Paul had done, all that the gospel had done, and they were now seeking to bring these Gentiles under the yoke of the bondage of the Jewish law. When Paul realized that they had come into the church, he desired Timothy not to come with him to Macedonia, which was, what he would otherwise have wanted. He loved to have the help and the fellowship of Timothy. There was none dearer to his heart than Timothy. But he desired that he would rather go and take time to pastor the work in Ephesus. We read that at the beginning of chapter 1, "I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions," etc. He wanted him to stay and get the work on a sure foundation and to defeat the schemes of these Judaizers, because he knew that this was just the beginning. In fact, in chapter 4 of this epistle, he says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And he goes on to describe those doctrines of devils. And he was warning Timothy and the Ephesians that what they were seeing was just the first line of the devil's attack, and that attack was going to develop not only in Ephesus, but indeed throughout all the churches, to undo the gospel of God and bring in the doctrines of devils. Now listen, when you go into heathen religions, you expect to find the doctrine of devils. Paul says, "Behind every man made God, behind every idol, there's a devil." Heathen religions are not things that are not dangerous. They're not without peril. They are doctrines of devils. But somehow you don't expect the doctrine of the devil to be put forth in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was warning about. That in the name of Jesus Christ, within the church of Jesus Christ, carrying on the ordinances that celebrate the ministry and salvation of Jesus Christ, baptism and the Lord's Supper, carrying on with the reading of the Bible, at least to some extent, with all the trappings of Christianity. He says, beware, there will be the teaching of demonic doctrine, and men will speak the lies of the devil, hypocritically pretending that they're preaching the truth of God. He could see this developing. And therefore, he wanted Timothy, as he wants every true pastor in every true church, to take a stand on the word of God's truth, to lift up that standard of truth, to oppose the encroachments of error, however difficult that may be. It was certainly not an easy job for Timothy. But Paul's saying, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what you lose in doing so, make sure you defend the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that sets the tone for the content of this little epistle. If you're going to analyze the epistle, it's basically very simple to analyze. The first two chapters deal with what I call sound doctrine versus satanic delusions. And then the final chapters, 3-6, deal with sound instruction, especially regarding how to run the church. Sound instruction versus satanic intrusions. Paul works everything around those two sections. But as usual, it's not my job today or interest to get into analyzing the epistle in any detail. I want us to come to the central message. There's a message in this epistle. And now, obviously, every verse in every epistle has something to say to us, but there's the core message. Now, these are the pastoral epistles. They're directed to Timothy and Titus to tell them how to behave in the church, how to have others behave in the church, how to have the church behave in the world, how the church is to be guided and guarded so that it will be a good witness for Jesus Christ in an age of apostasy. It is therefore a message. The pastoral epistle's message is a message that's very, very much to our needs today. I want us to think of the central message then of 1 Timothy. Now, to help us, we're going to note a unique and very telling statement that we read in chapter 3, verse 15. He says, this is the reason I'm writing to you, that if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. And these are the words. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. As I look at the central message of this epistle to the church at Ephesus through Timothy, I see it all working around this statement of Paul. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is not to be a playground for heretics. It is not to be a playground for hypocrites. It is not to be a playground for men and women who name the name of Christ and are as worldly as the devil can make them. It is not the marketplace of ideas, as many people have tried to make it. It is not the place to discuss every philosophy under the sun. It is not a place, says Paul, that we're supposed to be studying comparative religions. The church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and the ground of the truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.